You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Hey guys, good morning. My name is Rachel, and I am so excited to be sharing with you this morning. This is different for me. I'm normally over on the other side of the building with students, 7th through 12th grade. I'm the student minister, so I'm not normally in first service, so this is really cool to see a lot of faces that I don't normally get to hang out with. As we get started in our Peace of Mind series, I want to tell you about a movie that Eric, my husband, suggested that we watch. It's one of his favorite movie series, and I had not seen it before. Well, really, we watched the last one 2 days ago. So, like, just until now. You might know this movie. It's the series. It's by a guy named J.R.R. Tolkien. It's Lord of the Rings, right? It's a classic. I know some of you are sitting here judging me that I'm saying it's the first time I've ever watched it. And then I know the other half of you are in here judging me because I just admitted that I watched Lord of the Rings. So just hang with me, both crowds. It'll be good. But as I watched the movies, there was a conversation that stood out to me. It's between two of the main characters. One, this guy's name is Frodo. He is a hobbit. He's a really good guy. But he has this ring. And this ring has a lot of power. It also holds a lot of evil. And then this other guy, his name is Gandalf. He's a great wizard and just a really cool dude all around. They're seated in a cave, and they're lost, waiting for Gandalf to remember which way they're supposed to go. And Frodo and Gandalf have a heart-to-heart. Frodo says, "I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened." And then Gandalf replies, "So do all who live to see such times. But that's not for them to decide. We all have to decide what to do with the time that is given to us. There are forces at work in this world, Frodo, besides the will of evil. Bilbo was meant to find the ring, in which case you were also meant to have it. And that is an encouraging thought." Sometimes we can think this exact thought. We don't want to be in our current circumstance, be in the current situation that we're in. When I struggle with mental health, my cry is often, "Why do I feel this way? I hate feeling this way. I wish I didn't feel this way." And see, Frodo, he's a lucky guy in this moment because he had a friend who cares for him, who he can cry out to, and Gandalf was a really good friend in the way that he responded. So today, we're going to be discussing how we can be a friend to someone who is struggling with mental health. How can we support our friends like Gandalf supported Frodo? Last week, we talked about the mental health spectrum, and we said that we're always on this continuum, and it's not a constant. Sometimes it's a slow progression from week to week, and other times we're frantically moving all over the place, green, red, yellow, back and forth, all between. And so, since this is a part of all of our lives, at some point, it's going to be a part of one of your friends' lives. So what do we do when a friend is struggling with mental health? For me, it can be awkward sometimes. Too often, I freeze, not really knowing the best way to help, not what to say. Should I give advice? Try to cheer them up? Do I give them a hug? Offer them help in some way? What can I do for you? But who really knows what's right? I think it's hard to know the appropriate way to respond, and often it comes with fear and doubt that we're just going to mess it up and make it worse. The Bible has a story of this man named Job. And Job experienced some of the deepest emotional and physical pain that one could be dealt. God had blessed Job abundantly. And then one day, everything was taken from him. He gets news that his livestock, his servants, and his children had all died. In one day, he gets all of that news. And then later, he's plagued with boils from head to toe. And in his distress, he has three friends that come to be with him. And the initial steps that they took serve as a great example of how we can respond when we have a friend who is hurting. And so I had a couple friends help me read these verses to show you how Job's friends helped him. So check out this video as my friends read Job 2, 11 through 13.
Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, they came each from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite.
Naamathite.
They made an appointment together to come to show the sympathy and comfort him.
And when they saw him from the distance, they did not recognize him.
And they raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads toward heaven.
And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great.
So a huge shout out to Student Ministry. Thank you guys for helping with that. As you might have heard, Job's friends had some pretty crazy names, and they came from some pretty crazy named towns, and I'm just really glad I didn't have to pronounce that on stage in front of you all. So thank you, Student Ministry, for biting the bullet on that one and reading them for me. But as I listened to these verses, a few things really jumped out to me on how Job's friends understood how to help a hurting friend. The first thing that I recognized is that they heard. In order to help a friend, you have to stay connected with them and know what is going on in their life. So even though they were separated by some distance, you know all the crazy town names that we just heard, they're separated by some distance, they were good enough friends that they had heard the news of Job, and someone knew that it was important enough to share that news with them. So maybe it was one friend found out, and then they shared the news with each other, but they all had heard the news that happened to Job. So they heard, and then they came. Sacrifice of time and energy is needed for your friend in their time of need. And to share the news and get others involved if needed. Job's friends, they traveled to meet him. They came. They showed up. See, they could have stayed at home. They could have prayed from afar. And really, that would have been just fine. We're called to pray for those who are hurting. But they decided to go the extra mile. They sacrificed their own personal time for their friend. They probably left a job behind. They probably left family behind just to be with Job. And Scripture says that they made an appointment together to come and mourn. So this means, like I said, they reached out to one another. They got connected. And they had decided that it was best for them to come as one group, to be a support group for Job in this moment. Last week, we handed out care cards. And there's going to be a picture of them up on the screen here. If you didn't grab one of these last week, they're on the tables all around. They're outside in the lobby. Get one of these cards. And it'll be probably the next couple slides. But if you grab one of these cards, take a picture of it when it comes up on the screen, save these numbers in your phone, always have them on you. These are really important. And then the next slide that'll be coming up is information for the Suicide and Care Lifeline. See, Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a national network of local crisis centers that provides free and confidential emotional support to people in suicidal crisis and emotional distress. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can see, you can reach them by text. There's an online chat. You can call them. But save this, remember this, and use it if needed. If you have any concerns about a friend's safety, don't wait. Ask them if they're thinking of suicide. Ask them if they have feelings of hurting themselves. I know this can be scary, and sometimes we think asking these questions are going to start provoking the thought and maybe planting the seed in their brain. That's not what's going to happen. Asking these questions isn't going to start that. But what asking those questions can do is they can save a life. And sometimes, if they don't reach out for help themselves, in very serious situations, we might need to be the ones to make a call for them. And I'm not gonna lie, this could be hard. It will be hard, and it could hurt a friendship. There's no difference between mental health and physical health, and we must challenge that stigma that we've been given by society. See, if you broke your leg, you're gonna go to the doctor. You're not gonna try and fix it yourself unless you're Matt Desjardins, then maybe he'll tie it up for you. But you're not gonna fix it yourself. For mental health, you can't always fix it yourself. You might need to seek treatment and get help. So as a friend, walk through these steps with your friend and be an advocate for them, especially when they can't advocate for themselves in these moments. So Job's friends, they heard and they came. And then they showed appropriate emotion. Express emotion that is equal and relevant to the circumstance. The Bible tells us that when Job's friends saw him, they lifted up their voices and they wept. They grieved deeply for Job, and they expressed emotion in the right way. They didn't show up saying, "Hey Job, what's up, how you doing? I heard you got some stuff going on, but let's go party." No, they didn't say that. They didn't come to fix. They didn't come to distract. They didn't come to make small of Job's feelings, but they came and reflected his emotions. Mourning or sharing with a safe person can help process emotions in a way that allows you to see the hope that God offers in your life. Find someone that will allow you to feel your feelings. Someone who won't shy away from the pain. And someone that doesn't just try to provide answers and fix the problem. Job had these friends, and we know that they cared enough for him, that they heard, and they came, and then they expressed his emotions. Find these people for you, and find them before you need them. A phrase that I say a lot, and if you have probably ever heard me speak, you've probably heard this phrase, but it's who is in your boat. And see, this is really important to me about having people to support me and encourage me. It's a huge motivation in my life. And having people in my boat means that I'm surrounding myself with awesome people who will go out of their way to support me in everyday life. And I know that I have these people, and I'm confident that when my mental health on that spectrum, when it spikes, that they're gonna be there for me, and they're gonna support me the whole way through it. I know that they'll cry with me. I know that they'll pray with me. I know that they will make me eat and make sure I'm drinking water in these moments. They will distract me when I want to be distracted. And they will sit with me and help me process when I need to process. So find these people. Fill your boat with some awesome people who love you and will support you. The next thing that Job's friends did is they showed solidarity and they stayed with Job. Find ways to identify and connect with those in pain. A friend in pain might need you for more than one day. Ancient tradition says that in order to express grief and sorrow, you must tear your clothes and put dust on your head. And that is exactly what Job did when he found out all of the news about all of those he lost. And now his friends come and they do the exact same thing. They tore their robes, they put dust on their head. They were unified in spirit and in appearance with their friend. And they weren't embarrassed. This wasn't a short hospital stay. His friends didn't walk in and say, "Hey Job, how you doing? I heard the doctor was just here. Here's some balloons, here's a flower. We'll see you later. I see your Facebook update later." That's not what happened. We read that his friends stayed with him. They sat on the ground for 7 days, 7 nights, and they showed willingness to stay as long as he needed. And through that time, when they came, they heard, they came, they showed appropriate emotion, they showed solidarity with Job, we then hear that they didn't speak. So be present and be available for your friend. Job's friends didn't speak at all for 7 days. Can you imagine that? So I work with some high school girls, and 7 days of silence, I'm just saying, it could be nice. But seriously, 7 days. I don't know if I could be quiet for like an hour. 7 days, that's insane. Our first thought in an emotional situation is to say something to make it better. We get nervous, we fill the dead space with words, we start to ramble, we don't really know what we're saying. And often, these words become more hurtful and come across wrong as they do as encouraging or helpful. Job's friend's initial reaction, I say initial reaction, to the circumstance was very positive. They did a really good job. They came and supported their friend in a great way, and a lot of ways that we can reflect and use also. But sadly, when the conversation started in chapter 3, things really started to go downhill. And we see for the next like 40 chapters that Job's friends gave some really bad counseling and consequently ended up upsetting their friend with their wisdom that they tried to provide. And so this point is hard, but don't offer counseling when you don't understand what the person is going through. So perhaps instead of all the counsel that Job's friends tried to give them, the most important thing that Job could have heard, or that all of us could hear, is that you're loved and that you matter. Do you remember that Lord of the Rings quote that I started with in the beginning? It ended by when Gandalf said to Frodo, "You were meant to have it." And that is an encouraging thought. Why is it encouraging? Well, see, Gandalf neither dismissed Frodo's words, nor did he let them rule his life. He turned the situation around. In the midst of despair, there can be hope. In a place of frustration, Gandalf is telling Frodo that he matters. The story would have been completely different if Frodo wasn't involved. And we find out later that Frodo was the only one who could accomplish the task at hand. In the midst of despair, hopelessness, hurting, panic attacks, the severe lows in life, there is hope. Paul says in Romans 8, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is our hope. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. through all of the struggles in life, the physical, the mental, emotional, spiritual, all of the struggles, nothing can separate us from the love of God. When someone is experiencing depression, anxiety, stress, these other mental health struggles, the brain, it can get really foggy, it can be really cloudy, and it can be hard to understand what is truth and what is lies. And a person who is struggling can't think, can't implement coping mechanisms. And as a friend, you have a special opportunity to remind them that they are loved and that they matter. Sit with them. Cry with them. Listen to them. And when the time is right, remind them of that truth, that God loves them so much. I encourage you to have some scriptures ready to share with them. And I have a few right here. Lamentations, it says, "Certainly the faithful love of the Lord hasn't ended. Certainly God's compassion isn't through. They are renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness." In Psalms, it says, "But you, my Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy. You are very patient and full of faithful love." In Ephesians, it says, may you have the power to understand. That is all God's people should. How high, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to fully understand, then you will be made complete in all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. These are just a few examples that talk about God's love for us. And there are a ton more in Scripture. But have some verses ready to share with a friend when the time is right. And then I encourage you to offer prayer. We know that prayer is not just going to fix everything. You can't just pray away the pain. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't pray at all. God wants us to talk to him. He wants to know how we're feeling. Be angry at him, yell at him, cry with him. He wants you to do that. And as a friend, you can pray with and for your friend, and you can also encourage them to pray on their own. In 1 John, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." This isn't saying that our prayers are going to be answered immediately, but it does promise that they will be heard. We can approach God and have full confidence that he will hear our prayers. In 1 Peter, it says, "Cast all your anxieties onto him because he cares for you." God cares for you. He wants to know how you're doing. He wants to know how you're feeling. Remind your friend of this when they can't remind themselves. When their brain is too foggy and too cloudy, that they don't know the difference from truth and lies. Remind them of these truths. Give him your hurt. Give him your stress and your worries. And they won't just disappear when you pray, but we can have confidence that a God who calms the raging seas hears us and cares for us. We know that Jesus experienced some emotional hurt and mental health struggles. But we also know that he supported a lot of people with these hurting emotions. And one story that I hear really stands out to me, and this is when he is supporting his disciples at the Last Supper. It says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you will weep and wail, and while the world rejoices, you will grieve. But your grief will turn to joy." Jesus knows what's going to be happening in the next few days. And his disciples, though they've been told and reminded a bunch of times, they still don't get it. Jesus says, "A little while you won't see me, but then a little while later you will." The disciples are confused. They don't understand. Jesus tells them again, "I'll be gone, but I'll be back." And then he shares this. "You'll grieve. It'll be hard. The world, they'll be happy that I'm gone, and it's going to be hard to grieve because of that. But your grief, it will turn to joy. So we're going to head into communion here now. So if you have your communion, you can go ahead and get that out. If you don't, they're on the black tables around. Feel free, go grab them if you need to. We know today what the disciples didn't know in that moment. We know that Jesus died on the cross for all of us. We know that he was buried in the tomb for 3 days. And after those 3 days, he rose from the dead. And he defeated death once and for all. During the Last Supper, Jesus had a lot to be worried about, a lot of personal worry that he could have been struggling with. And we know later that he went off and he prayed and he processed some of those. But in this moment, he chose to take time and share about the hope we have when life beats us down. See, we have the same opportunity to be a friend who shows up, to be present, to connect, not offering unwanted counsel, but a reminder that we have hope in life, and that hope is Jesus. And we can remind our friend that when they can't remind themselves, that they are loved and that they matter. So let me pray, and then we can move into communion. Hey, God, I thank you so much for this community we have here at Parkside. I thank you for this family, and it truly is. I just pray as we go out, we're going to be met with friends who are hurting and that need a reminder of you. I pray that we can be that friend, that we can encourage them and listen to them and support them. And most of all, let us not speak and try to share words to make things better, but just remind them that they're loved and that they matter. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins and the gift of eternal life. We love you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.